Ministers would do well to experiment with alternative ways of communicating beyond just lecture and preaching. That's the key sentence that begins our SermonCoach.com podcast for this visit. I'm your host, Dean Wilson, and we welcome you to this visit in the SermonCoach.com podcast. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, the last time you were at our church, you did something quite different in the Sunday morning service. Can you talk to us about it?
You could probably talk about it as well, because I involved you in it. I was speaking on the topic of wanting to attract millennials or people who are younger in the congregation, because your congregation is like many, many congregations all around the country where it's graying. And unless that new generation is attracted and becomes a part of the church, it's just a matter of time that the church dies out. So this is a problem not only where you are, but it's a problem everywhere throughout the country, because the church is not attracting millennials like they attracted earlier generations, the boomers or whichever decade of people you're talking about. So I decided that in terms of what I was preaching, I would also use a different style. And I felt that that was a risk. I'm sure it was a risk, but it actually turned out fine. Nobody seemed to be offended. Nobody left the sanctuary at the time. But I thought instead of preaching a sermon like normal, I would do it through question answer. And I gave you the questions ahead of time, wanted to see if you would connive with me to do something a little bit different. I had a text, but the text really wasn't saying precisely what I wanted to say as much as it illustrated what I was attempting to say. And so I felt that using a question-answer format was not a bad idea. And not only question-answer, you asking me questions, but you said at the beginning, at the end of my presentation of answering your questions, we would give opportunity for the congregation to ask questions. Now, for your church, that was very different, and I would have to say that probably for 95% of the churches of the country, that was very different. I don't care whether you're talking Catholic, Protestant, or Orthodox. Usually, those who come as guest speakers don't allow anybody in the congregation to ask questions. On top of that, you have to figure out how do we work this so people's voices can be heard if they're asking questions. If it's a dumb question, how do you deal with that or whatever? But the whole morning went off pretty well as far as I was concerned. I think you felt the same way. I'm not even sure that the people who were there realized that it was something quite different than what they were accustomed to. I was the guest speaker, and I ended up being the guest speaker. I don't know if I'll ever be asked back again. I assume probably that will be the case. In my mind, we accomplished what was wanted and did it without stirring up any rumbles.
That's right. It did go very well, and even when it came time for people to ask questions, they asked them really interesting, thoughtful, and probing questions.
Yes, you could tell they were listening. It was good. It didn't end with a stirring illustration or anything, because question and answer, you don't have a chance to build like you would with a sermon to a given climax. But the point that I was making, I think, was very well received. The text, which was illustrative, maybe I could even say what that was, at least the text that I was using, it was talking about Jesus and how he spoke with people. It says, Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him and asked, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? So they didn't even raise their hand. While he was teaching, which is interesting, they came. Jesus didn't say, I'm sorry, you're out of line. That's not fair. You have to wait your turn. But it says he replied, I'll ask you a question. You know, so it was a question-answer session, which was unplanned as far as he was concerned, but he was very open to that. I felt like, in a sense, I could say, well, Jesus was open to it. I can follow the Jesus pattern. I'm probably in good stead here.
Was there a hidden message in what you were doing?
Yes, there was. I was saying we need to figure out how to be able to relate to millennials. And millennials are not really lecture-oriented. They want to be involved. You have to include them in some way. And I was trying to say, if we are going to attract this younger generation, we're going to have to do things their way, and I'm going to model doing things their way for you. And actually, it was more complicated than that, but I was just trying to say, I don't think it's going to be as big a jump for you as a congregation as maybe you assume it is going to be. So let's see if we can weather this. I didn't try to build it up like some great climactic thing. Are you going to be able to make it or not? We just went through it, didn't say anything ahead of time. You said, instead of a normal sermon format, I'm going to ask some questions, and we'll just see how it goes. Please be patient with us, and everything worked out well. Yes, I was saying this is a style that the millennials would be much more accustomed to. It was still quite contained. You know, it wasn't like the Pharisees coming to Jesus and he's only talked maybe 2 or 3 minutes. And he says, no, you can't ask questions till I get done with what I want to say. You know, that was more jarring than what we did. But what we did was certainly, if you analyze it and said ahead of time, would you be open if we did this, there may have been a problem. But we just didn't ask questions. We just went ahead and did it.
I think a couple of interesting things for pastors that are listening to us to take note of. You had actually manuscripted what you were going to say, just like you normally do when you preach. And you had also manuscripted the questions that you had me ask you.
Mm-hmm.
To someone listening, though, it appeared much more spontaneous that I was asking you questions and you were simply responding. But the truth was, it was a scripted message where you were able to express exactly the points that you were trying to make. And my questions simply broke up what you were saying into manageable chunks for the listening audience, gave them a sense that they were participating with you through me asking questions. My having modeled questions that I was asking you then when it came time for them to ask questions, there was no hesitancy. And immediately people began to ask questions because they were already used to the idea that you were there to answer questions. So there was no awkwardness to it. It wasn't like they were surprised that they were given an opportunity. And that whole modeling process worked very well. At the same time, you were able to preach a sermon that you had crafted in advance and done so carefully. It isn't that you're turning your service over to this sense of complete chaotic spontaneity. You're still in absolute control over what's going on.
I wasn't in control of what questions they would ask.
The congregation would
right.
ask,
mm-hmm.
but you were in control of the questions that I asked
right.
that led up to it. And so the questions that I asked became a model for the questions
right.
that they asked.
Yeah.
And in fact, the questions that the congregation asked were very similar in their structure to the questions I had been asking. They subconsciously absorbed how to ask the things that they wanted to ask, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah. Two things that I would probably add. One is that the format of the whole service was not changed at all. The people were comfortable with that. The other thing was that the ones who really seemed to like what went on were the younger people. There weren't very many of them, but they come in. In fact, one little boy, I remember him saying something to the effect of, I really like that. That was neat, because it gave that feeling of, anyway, that he could participate if he wanted to. He didn't, but he could have. And I think with the younger generation, there's a sense in which they feel like they just want to have a part more of what is happening. Your church has pews, so the people were still sitting in pews. We didn't rearrange how those were. We tried to keep it as normal so no one would be shocked, and I felt it was a very successful time. And my own personal feeling was, well, we got by with that one. That's good. And maybe next time we can push it a little bit more. But I do think that churches need to experiment with other forms of communication than just lecture. And that was one of the mornings when we tried it. I tried it as a guest, which was easier than if I were the hired pastor, because if I don't get asked back again, it's not a huge problem for me. Whereas with a pastor, it could be a problem. But I don't think so. I think if I had actually been the pastor of your congregation, people would have responded very positively to what went on.
Now, an interesting side note to that, your wife Karen came and spoke to a women's conference that our church sponsored a few weeks after you were here. And we also asked Karen to please speak in the morning worship service. And I did the same thing with Karen that I had done with you. I had prepared questions in advance, which I sent to her by email so she could see what they were.
Mm-hmm.
I framed questions that would then prompt her to say what she would normally say anyways. I did it for a number of reasons. One of them was I wasn't sure exactly how people were going to react to a female in the role of preaching. We're not against females preaching, but it's not something that that particular congregation is used to. And Karen, of course, is an excellent speaker. So I wanted to, in a sense, and maybe this will sound strange to some, I wanted to provide a covering for Karen a little
yes.
bit, and that
yeah.
my questions right. did that.
Mm-hmm.
It worked out just as well as it had with the time that you were there. New yes. ground was broken in a gentle and yet effective way.
Yeah, gentle is a good word. It was a gentle, it was also, they were meaningful Sundays. They were not shocking. It was good, yeah. So it's just kind of saying, it doesn't have to be that you come racing at the people screaming bloody murder to do something different. You do it in a way that's respectful of who those people are and at the same time moves them along a little in terms of the whole process of communication.
Yeah, you're not turning their world upside down.
Right, right.
Ministers would do well to experiment with alternative ways of communicating beyond just lecture or preaching. We're so very glad you joined us for our SermonCoach.com podcast this day. You found our podcast at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And as we always do, we invite you to return and join us once again for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.